John spells this out, chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus said as he was praying to his Father, I think this verse is on the screen. Read it with me, or follow along as I read it. Just as you sent me into the world, this is Jesus talking, I am sending them into the world. That's your assignment. That is your mission, should you choose to accept it. The one thing different about this assignment is God honors his word, even above his name. His word is lasting. His word will not self-destruct. He said, just as God the Father sent me, I am sending them. You have an assignment. Every single Christian has an assignment. They have an assignment to one another. We talked about that, and that's serving and doing ministry. But we have an assignment as if we have a mission to unbelievers. We can remember the words, the Great Commission. That's where we're told to go into the world and share God's love. We have a mission here at Pathway Church, and that mission is to equip everyday people to serve others and to lead our community to passionately follow Jesus. Now, this entire context, this entire five sermons, and what you'll hear next week from Alton Garrison is taken from an excerpt from the book of Acts. In fact, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to the second chapter of Acts. We're going to drop down at verse 42, and maybe you're still going to get there, but I'm going to reiterate something at the end of this little passage. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Follow along. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over all of them. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Now watch right here in the rest of verse 47. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Why were they meeting together? Why were they worshiping God? Why were they caring with all of their resources with one another? It was for the salvation of the lost. The greatest way God is glorified is through a sinner coming to salvation. So there's a reason for all of this, and that's to reach the lost. So we have this context where we worship God. All that we do is worship to him. We connect with others in our church. We grow close to the Lord. We serve in our ministry, and then we take it to the streets. We go. Go. You've heard us introduce some leaders in these areas. Pastor Matt has an assignment to help lead the connect piece of this strategy. Roger Walker has an assignment to help bring some leadership to the grow and the discipleship piece of this structure. Pastor Kelly has an assignment to lead the service piece of this. Right now, and I will be taking the go piece, the evangelism piece. And if you want to add something to your prayer list, let's pray the right leader to join the team for this kind of a piece. But we're not going to wait. We're going to get going, and we're going to get going now. See, we must understand that we have an assignment. We have an assignment. In John chapter 20, Jesus said this, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." He sent us. So let me just kind of pause for a moment and ask the question, what is it that we are being sent to do? What really is our mission? Paul is realistic and specific. It's written in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, where Paul says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Our assignment is that, to share the good news that God's grace is sufficient, to share that there's hope through Jesus Christ. That's the message that we are to share. You know, there's one thing, they're about to queue up a video, which is actually a little bit comical, but there's one word that scares both Christians and non-Christians, and the word is evangelism. Because evangelism, if you're a non-Christian, they just think that here's some weirdo coming and doing whatever they're doing, and I'm embarrassed. And sometimes Christians who want to do evangelism feel like there's some weirdo going talking to somebody, doing some crazy thing. It's not really like that. We're going to talk about evangelism, but this is what evangelism, I guess, is not. Can we show it?
Here at the National Institute for Student Ministries, we've discovered a new method of evangelism that is shaking the very foundation of our thinking. It may appear unorthodox, but frankly, we're shocked with the results. We're amazed at this revolutionary idea, especially designed to boost student evangelism.
Why did I want to be the evangelism linebacker? Well, let me put it to you like this. Yeah, baby! Next time I'm gonna hit you so hard you're going to flight, NASA's gonna think I didn't launch a satellite! You see, as a fish was created to swim in water, as a bird was created to fly, I was created to knock people out who don't evangelize.
The evangelism linebacker deals directly with a variety of students' fears associated with sharing their faith.
All right, it's all you. This house has got your name on it.
I'm not ready yet.
What makes you think I'm ready, though?
Fear of rejection, for example.
Let me talk to you about fear. Fourth and one, Jerry Rice, what you gonna do? That don't compare to fourth and one in eternity. It doesn't matter who rejects us because we're always accepted by Christ. God loves you. Get off the flow and go door to door.
Can we talk to you for a minute?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, baby.
He loves you, but it might hurt.
Sometimes I'll blow you up, but it's because I love you.
Yeah, but just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I need to be out sharing my faith. I mean,
don't you run from me! You can't escape my grasp! D-Gray will throw you in the trash!
Thanks to the evangelism linebacker, campus evangelism nationwide is up 87%.
Thank goodness you're good! I'll never do it again!
Hey, I can't go to the outreach today. I just got some more important things I gotta do. Uh-huh. Hey man, give me a break. I went to church on Sunday. I gotta go.
Selfishness! The world needs a message! For God so loved the world, He wants to communicate it through you! If you procrastinate, you will open up the gate to a beatdown! Give me that phone, boy! When I see selfishness, it is my job to blow them up. That's what I do. I blow them up so that they can get their eyes off of self and look at Christ, the prize.
What's up, baby girl? Nah, I'm busy.
We're intrigued, as the linebacker is particularly effective in infiltrating centers of cultural and intellectual exchange.
Here you go. Here's your double cappuccino latte mocha with a twist. Not too hot, not too cold. Perfect for you.
Anyway, man, did you hear that talk from that guy the other night?
Oh, I know. Like, we were supposed to be sharing our faith in, like,
coffee
shop.
Whoa! Whoa! Shut out in the coffee shop, baby! You next!
It's unlikely that the recent decline in coffee sales has anything to do with our program.
Pride comes before the fall. That's Old Testament. Old Testament, you know this.
Thanks for the coffee, Darren.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a nice day. Your mama raised you better than this boy. Don't let me blow you up no more. You see, I think it's fitting because when people have pride, if they're too prideful to share their faith, what I do is I knocks the pride out of them. What I would like to communicate to my brothers and sisters is this. When you least expect it, around the corner, perhaps even under your bed, I can be in a phone wire. I can be everywhere. And just know that I'm always watching, ready to lay the boom on you, baby. Booyah!
Ouch. Are you ready for game day?
So I'd like to introduce a new member of our staff. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I want to tell you that that is not what we're doing. We don't have to be, we don't need an evangelism linebacker to make us do something that we think we don't want to do. That's not really what this is about. See, evangelism, it comes from a word that was, it's a, really from a Greek word that simply means good news. All it means is to share that there's good news. Here's a truth that we forget about when we talk about sharing our faith with Jesus. George Gallup did a survey and discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. 65 million Americans have no church home. 34 of those, more than half, that's more than one out of two, 34 million of them said that they probably would attend a church if someone would just invite them. Opportunities to share our faith are all around us. They're really staring at us right in the face every day. So there's a plan to deal with this. There's a tool and a resource and a help. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I've heard this said like this many times, and I think you can apply it like this. When they heard this for the first time, Jerusalem to them was right where they were. It was the people that they understood. It was the people closest to them. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will have power to share the message of God's love with those that are closest to you. You're working with people, you live with people, you're neighbors by people that God has put into your life. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you cannot contain that zeal and the passion to share His love, and you'll move out like they did in this passage to Judea and Samaria, or to those that are nearby you but maybe different. Maybe there's some cultural differences. Maybe there's a geographical difference, but you won't keep it packaged with the familiar. You're going to take the message even into an unfamiliar place. Maybe it's socioeconomic, whatever. And to the ends of the earth means and everywhere else. You know, when we share our faith or we evangelize or we do what it is that we do, we don't have to defend God. Our assignment is not to defend God. It's not to be a salesman that has a nice, snazzy pitch. We don't have to sell God. All God wants us to do is to be a witness. What is a witness? It's someone that tells what they have seen. There's a one day I was driving early in the morning, and I was on a curve, like a windy road, And there's several deer that was running across the road. It was probably about 5 in the morning. And, you know, I guess I'm a novice to this. I flashed my brights. You ever heard the statement, like a deer staring in the headlights? I know why that phrase exists. Here I'm barreling down the road, flashing my lights, and they're like, looking at me. So I honked my horn, and they ran away. Now, it's a true story. I could tell you that story, and here's why. Because I saw it. It happened to me. Similarly, there's a time that I had blown some things in my life, and I went and I talked to a creator, and I asked him to forgive me of my sin, and he did. How can I tell you that story? It's because it happened to me, and I saw it. That's what a witness is. You don't have to be the most or the greatest theologian. You don't have to read the Bible through 5 times to be a witness. It's telling people what Christ has done in your life. See, our assignment is not church growth. Listen to me now carefully. Our assignment is not church growth. Our assignment is kingdom growth. We have an assignment to see the kingdom of God expanded. So you ask the question, okay, then when, as we grow, when will Pathway Church be big enough? Here's how I answer that question. I want to grow and keep growing. When will we be big enough? We're going to stop growing when Jesus returns. That's when we're going to stop. We don't grow for our benefit. We don't grow so we can have another ministry on our letterhead. We don't grow so we can give raises to our staff. We don't grow for prestige. We don't grow for our benefit at all. We grow so people that are lost can meet a Savior and their eternity can be different. That's why we grow. The wrong question is, how big should we get? The right question is this: is there anyone left who needs to hear? That's the question. Is there anyone left that needs to hear? I hope that God sends us many, many people because they need to be trained and discipled, and they're going to rise up as an army to answer the question, who else needs to hear? Who else needs to hear? You know, Christians are not to build walls. Sometimes we build walls of safety. Well, I don't want to let this creep into my life, so I'm going to put a wall up so nothing gets in. I'm going to keep this safe, so I'm going to build a wall so I'm not attacked by the enemy. Christians are not called to build walls. Christians are called to build bridges. We don't want to build a wall to keep them out. We want to build a bridge so we can go to them. That's the assignment. God's not calling us to play it safe. There's going to be children walking in here that probably I would choose that my children don't spend time with. But he's called us to build a bridge, and we're going to go, we're going to bring them in, we're going to see Christ change their life. There's potential, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but there's going to be people walking here, maybe a man hand in hand with another man. There might be a woman hand in hand with another woman, if you know what I mean. What are we going to do with that, church? Are we going to build a wall to keep us safe? Or are we going to build a bridge and we're going to watch the captive be set free? What are we going to do? This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay? Alton Garrison will be here next week. We're going to understand. We're going to see it. The week after that, it's a whole week of responding. And we are going to spend from that point in March until November filling the gaps. And here's what I expect. I expect that we're going to be shot out like a cannon because we're building bridges into our community. We are not afraid. We are not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. And who needs to be saved? Those that don't know Jesus. We've got to tell them. Do you feel it? Booyah! If you watched the video, you would have gotten that. Here's what's interesting. God expects us to make the first move. Do you know Christianity is a movement? We have to be on the move. And he expects us to make the first move. Lord, send them here. That's the wrong prayer. Well, I mean, we could pray that people come. But that's not the prayer. What did Isaiah say? Here I am, send them to me. Now he said, here I am, send me. Maybe we should stop praying, Lord, send them to me. And maybe we should start praying, Lord, here I am, send me. It writes it like this, the words of Jesus, chapter 28. Therefore, go. Therefore, what's the word? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you get involved in your mission in the world, if you understand this assignment, this, you know, you're part of the Impossible Missions Force. If you get involved with your mission in the world, it's going to cost you. It will cost you money. It will cost you to walk away from selfishness. It's going to cost your time, your energy, even your privacy. But God has promised you something that's more important than all of those things. He's promised you an eternal reward. So do you want your privacy and a few extra dollars in your pocket? Or do you want that eternal reward? That decision is ours. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says it like this: go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Was Jesus talking to clergy at that point? No, he wasn't. Was he talking to missionaries and those that went to the Ohio School of Ministry to learn how to be a missionary? No, he wasn't talking to them. He was talking to commoners, to ordinary people, to people like us who would just sit on a chair and stand up and worship God. He was just talking to followers. That's what we are. So here's a tough question. Are you ready for a difficult question? Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Listen, I don't think we have the wrong heart. I think we want to see people saved. But what if we could respond to this passion to go? I want heaven to look different because of an investment that I make as a human being. And I want heaven to look different because of the investment that you make as a human being. One day in heaven, will someone look for you and walk up to you and say, thank you so much for telling your story? How do we get there? How do we get to the point that we're making a difference for eternity? You know, it starts with a life of surrender to our God. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. If you try to hang on to your life, Jesus said, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, Jesus said, for the sake of the good news, then you'll save it. Then you'll save your life. So it all depends on how do you surrender. Are you going to pray a prayer like Moses prayed? Who, me? I can't. Are you going to pray a prayer like Jonah? Absolutely not me. I'm going the other way. Are you going to pray a prayer like Habakkuk? Why in the world would you ask me? Or are you going to pray a prayer like Isaiah? Oh, there's an assignment. Here I am. Send me. Send me. I believe, to word it a little differently, one of the most dangerous and rewarding prayers you could pray is this: Lord, use me. Use me. Lord, use me. You have to lay down your own desires and your own plans to pray that prayer. And you have to be committed to serving God's desires and God's plans. This morning I have a very practical way to put this concept into action. The next to last day of this month, the month of March, we're going to have hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 or more people on campus. And they're going to be mostly people who probably do not know Jesus Christ. We're doing an event. This will be the third year we've done it since I have been here, at least. And I think we've done things like this in the past. We're going to do an Easter outreach event. Our school system here in the city of Gahanna has given us permission, and most of them are printed ready to go. We are going to be able to go to every single elementary school and give an invitation, personal invitation, to every single elementary age student in the city of Gahanna. I believe eternity is at stake. But here's what's awesome about that. We don't have to rely on those flyers. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Here's what's incredible about that. That's just an extra activity. The difference is made when you are the bringers, when you are the inviters, when you are the servants. One of the most practical ways to respond to an evangelism message is to engage in evangelism. So we have a very easy win for you, a way that you can be successful. We're doing an evangelism event that's right on our campus. It's a going event because we're reaching out and targeting people that don't know Jesus. But there's an opportunity and we need you. I guess I could say it like this: we need us. We are throwing the party. You are throwing the party. We need people to work games and talk to non-Christians and shake hands and sign people in and do all the... We need workers. The whole event's only 2 hours long, but we need you. Now, this is not some, like, sneaky way to sign you up to do grunt work. This is an opportunity to make a kingdom difference for all of eternity. See, if we allow God to use us, we will experience God's supernatural power, and we will be part of accomplishing his plan. So, we can recognize our assignment, we can surrender to God and his plans. And I think very practically, we could sign up to work at this Fun Fest. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a chance for you to do a response. And maybe just some of our, at least instrumentalists, I don't know if the worship team wants to come. This would be the time to, whoever's coming, to come. There's two things we're going to do. There's a table in the back. You could see some of our hospitality crew sitting back there right now. And at that table, there's a few sheets of paper and some pens that if you want to volunteer for this outreach event the day before Easter, it's a Saturday, you can just sign your name there. Now, if it's crowded in this little back area back here, there's a sign-up sheet that's also there. And if that's crowded, out in the foyer there, there's like an information desk where ushers are there, can answer questions. There's a sign-up sheet there. We want to make this available to you, but I want to give you that opportunity to serve. That's a practical opportunity. But we're also going to take one reflective opportunity to respond. And it's a response of surrender. Surrender to God's plan. I want you to close your eyes for a moment, if you will. Your eyes are closed, and I want you to think about the greatest, if there is no limitation in your life, the greatest thing you could do for the Lord. What would that look like? How many people would you tell about him? What ministries would you start? What could be done? I want you to begin to think about what could be done through your life. I want you to think about the neighborhoods that can be changed, the cities. While you're thinking about that, I want you to realize something. God does immeasurably more. Our thinking is limited. It's human. It includes constraints. There's no limit to God. Anything that you can dream, he has something better in store for you. You might be dreaming of what this church could be, and you've looked at what this church has been years and years ago, and what we've done even recently, and you think, what could we be? God has a bigger dream in store. I love my neighborhood. There's many of us at this church that live in my neighborhood, and I think it's a pretty cool thing, but what if our whole neighborhood came to our church? What if? Listen, God's dreams are bigger than our dreams. But here's how we begin to realize his dreams. It's when we lay our own down. He doesn't want you to have a good dream. He wants it to be a God dream. So how do I be that person that goes and can make an eternal difference? Is it serving at a Fun Fest? Well, I think that's part of it. But that's not going to unlock the city to us. What's going to unlock the city is that heart of surrender. And like Isaiah, anytime he says, here's the plan, you raise your hand and you say, here I am. Send me. Send me. So this morning, with an act of response, and this could be a little embarrassing, I don't know. You could feel a little pressure. I don't know what you'll feel. But if you're someone that would say, you know what? I don't even care about the mistakes I've made. I don't know where I'm coming from. All I know that if God is calling, I am saying yes. If that's you, I would like to invite you to stand to your feet at this moment. If God is calling, I'm saying yes. Thank you. If God is calling, I'm saying yes. We're saying we are here for your pleasure and for your purpose. That's why we're here. For you. Use me as you will. I believe this moment is significant and has a great bearing on the future here and in your life. Listen, you are empowered. You are anointed. You're part of an army that God is rising up and sending out. That's you. That's you. I want to pray for you as your pastor. And as you say yes, I want you to raise your expectations, because God is about to be glorified through your life. Lord, I pray for those that are on their feet in this sanctuary at this moment. Those that have decided to stand and say, as you call, I am saying yes. To the